And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again today, folks. This is actually Friday, and I don't ever say thank God it's Friday. Thank God every day. Every day is a wonderful day and a day to thank God. So thank God for today, too. But I hope all of you are well. I hope you're doing well. Your families are healthy. And I hope that you are able to stay at work. I'm going to try to start taking calls early today because it's Friday, and I try to open the lines up and give more people an opportunity to call me and talk to me on Fridays. So right after this segment, I'm going to try to get right into your phone calls. Anything you've got on your mind right now, anything you want to bring up, I don't have to introduce the topic. Feel free. The number is 888-589-8840. Again, that's 888-589-8840. What's on your mind? What's happening in your neck of the woods? How are you doing? How's your family doing? How do you think the country's doing handling this? Folks, this week I've talked to two police officers quite extensively. And you know, the interesting thing is what I hear from police officers, you know, we didn't sign up to be going up to churches and stopping people and asking people, why are you out and all. That's not what we signed up to catch bad guys, to take people off the streets who are hurting other people. There was a big shootout in Newport News last night. Newport News, for those of you who don't know, is not far from Norfolk, Virginia Beach, right across the water, so to speak. You got to go through a tunnel or over a bridge to get from, say, Norfolk to get to Newport News, but it's the next city you come to heading west. And they had a big shootout there. A woman killed, an officer wounded, a civilian wounded. That's the kind of stuff police officers have signed up to deal with, these crazies out there who want to hurt other people. But, you know, these officers that I had a chance to talk to, it just reminds me, I don't care what people say about police officers. Frankly, folks, they're some of the finest people you'll ever want to meet. And look, there are a million law enforcement officers in America. Of course, you're going to find, like you find in any large demographic of people, some folks that don't quite get it and don't quite do what's right, but overwhelmingly, some of the finest people you want to meet. And I was letting this police officer know that we're still having services. I said, so if the police officers show up, they're going to get full cooperation out of us. Because our problem is not with the police officers who are being ordered to do this kind of crazy stuff. Our problem is with these mayors and governors who have taken it upon themselves to think that they can order the American people and citizens to do various things rather than simply doing what the president has done, asking for our cooperation, giving guidelines, indicating what they think is best, and then allowing the American people to use common sense to deal with this. I mean, I had one person tell me this week, for example, you know, we were trying to have a wedding, and this individual said, and, you know, we had pared it way down because we started with, you know, I mean, 100 people plus. And so we got it down and got it down and got it down. And finally, we thought we got it down to the bare bones, finally got it down to 13 people. And to think that 13 people is illegal. Well, see, that's where common sense comes in, because the average person says, hey, 13 people will get this done. We'll move on. The idea that you are under orders so that you can't. So what are you going to do, kick three people out? So, folks, my problem is not with the cooperation that the American people are trying to give to the president and give to these officials to the fullest extent we can. My problem is with the overreach by these, frankly, in most cases, leftists who have gone completely over the deep end. I mean, did you all hear, for example, Gavin Newsom was asked by a reporter, do you think this is an opportunity for progressivism to make progress? And Gavin Newsom says, yes, this is an opportunity to reimagine a more progressive society. Now, what does that have to do with fighting the communist Chinese Wuhan virus? See, they're scheming. They're manipulating. They're engaged in their little political machinations, trying to figure out how they can take advantage of the situation. That's what's bothering me. And we've got a governor who shut down Virginia until June 10th, folks. June 10th. And by the way, it just happens to be the day after the statewide Republican primary. I'm sure that's just a coincidence. Yeah, we're shut down in Virginia until June the 10th. I don't know. You know, we've clearly, look, the American people have got to say, we take the crisis seriously. We take this coronavirus seriously. We're going to do everything that we can do within reason and rationality, but we're not going to buy into the hysteria that makes us surrender our constitutional liberties and say, oh, yeah, anything you tell us, we're going to do. In fact, I talked to somebody else. These are not people who've called me on the air, but I talked to somebody else, you know, because the advice has been, grandparents, stay away from your grandchildren. And I talked to an individual. I said, well, how are you doing with that? I'm visiting my parents so that they can see my grandchildren. It does like, okay, you realize you may be in violation of the law. Can you imagine a police officer being asked to stop somebody? Where are you taking these children? To visit their grandparents. Oh, you can't do that. I mean, I trust that that would never happen. But here again, you know, some of the things that we're hearing ought to be enough to shock the conscience of the American people with just how far these folks are trying to go with this. Did you hear, by the way, Franklin Graham, God bless him, goes to New York, Central Park, sets up a hospital trying to help people. And the LGBTQ community has attacked him because he doesn't want to serve the LGBTQ community and because he's against gay marriage. Yeah, so am I. But I guarantee you, there's not a Christian in this country and probably on this planet who would turn somebody down or not serve them or help them because that person happened to be a homosexual or transgender. But see, they just, folks, they can't let their ideological insanity go. They just can't let it go, not even under these circumstances. They can't let it go. Now, here Franklin Graham is in New York, putting himself at risk, putting his staff at risk, trying to help other people, and the homosexual activists can't give him credit for doing that. Oh, no. He's the enemy because he won't go along. In fact, there's an article in Breitbart that quotes Judge Alito, who said in his dissent in the Obergefell decision, his words were prescient. He said, this will be used to vilify Americans who are unwilling to assent to the new orthodoxy. Those who cling to old beliefs will be able to whisper their thoughts in the recesses of their homes, but if they repeat those views in public, they will risk being labeled as bigots and treated as such by governments, employers, and schools. That's exactly where we are, even in the midst of this viral scare, even in the midst of this. They just won't let it go. And folks, thank God for the president, his resilience, because Nancy Pelosi, as you all know, starting a new select committee on the COVID-19 virus, whose purpose, of course, is to attack the president and to try to figure out ways they can use this to once again bring him down. The Russian scandal didn't work. The so-called Russian collusion didn't work. Impeachment didn't work. And so now they're hoping that the coronavirus will work. It just never ends. It just never, ever ends. And so that's why I say, while we are keeping our eyes on this virus and doing everything reasonable and rational we can, we better keep our eyes on the Constitution, because I'm convinced there are people who hope, as Newsom said, to create a new era through this thing, and we are not going to let them do it. Back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
A study by the Manhattan Institute explains why it is so hard for middle-class families to make ends meet. The author, Orrin Cass, distilled his research down to a Twitter post. In 1985, he said, the typical male worker could cover a family of four's major expenditures, housing, health care, transportation, education, on 30 weeks salary. By 2018, it took 53 weeks, which is a problem, there being 52 weeks in a year. Christopher Ingram wrote about this in the Washington Post, saying this chart is the best explanation of middle-class finances you will ever see. The chart shows the annual expenses for a family of four and plots on top of that the median male income. The margin between income and expenses gets smaller each year until the annual household expenses exceed the median male income. The chart in the report helps to explain why families feel the financial pinch. The cost of basic necessities has increased faster than male income. Until recently, we have had a booming economy with a record-setting stock market. But many families are still struggling to bring in enough income to cover housing, health care, transportation, and education. The research focuses on male earnings because historically men were responsible for providing for their families. In the past, they were often the sole breadwinners. Today, they're seen as the primary providers for their family. Warren Cass concludes that the typical male worker a generation ago could be confident in his ability to provide for his family not only the basics of food, clothing, and shelter, but also the middle-class essentials of a comfortable house, a car, health care, and education. Now he cannot. That is why it has become more and more difficult for families to make ends meet. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
Take Kirby and the Point of View team with you on the go with the Point of View app. Search for Point of View Radio at the Apple or Google Play stores.
It gives an impetus to share your faith when you think you've got answers to objections that you expect people to bring up.
The American Family Studios video series, Intro to God's Revelation, featuring Dr. Richard Howe, shows how God has revealed himself in nature and his word, and how we can rightly understand what God has said.
These truths are just a part and parcel of the Christian life. It isn't just for the professional clergy.
Learn the fundamentals of how to approach and understand the Bible in an age of skepticism. This 6-week video curriculum is perfect for your Sunday school class or study group, and it can prepare you to give a defense of God's word and how he speaks to us in nature.
Knowing whether and how God communicates is a safeguard against false claims about God communicating.
Intro to God's Revelation, DVDs and workbook, are available for purchase at afastore.net or call 877-927-4917.
Brian Fisher here. Nancy Pelosi's solution to the coronavirus panic is massive voter fraud. Why is nobody talking about chloroquine? The governors of Texas and Florida identified churches as essential services. Adam Schiff goes after President Trump again, and more scientists are saying we are way overreacting to the coronavirus. Next on Focal Point.
Back to the Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Two other quick things, and I want to come to your calls. The number is 888-589-8840. I mentioned this ship, the USS Roosevelt, and the way it leaked out, this captain sending this dire letter about the need to rescue the people off the ship and so forth. And I said, look, I understand if he's facing a serious health situation there, but this is a national security matter. It's not just a health matter. And you can't communicate to our enemies weakness. And so he's been fired. Apparently, he violated the chain of command and did not inform his immediate superiors of the letter and sent it out fairly far and wide. So the reason it leaked out to the press was that he sent it out to many, many people, apparently, instead of following the chain of command and dealing with it in an appropriate way. We don't want our adversaries to hear weakness communicated by any of our military commanders or leaders. Iran, of course, is threatening. Already they've done some attacks in southern Iraq, apparently, but Iran is also threatening to take advantage of the situation with the coronavirus by doing some surprise attacks against United States forces. And this is exactly what I mean, folks. This is also a national security matter. We can't shut down everything because we need to continue to function as a society for the needs particularly to maintain the national security and safety needs of our people. So that was one thing. The other thing is many localities have chosen to shut down gun stores and gun ranges. The governor of Massachusetts has done that. He's left the abortion clinics open, but he shut down gun stores and gun ranges, even though the president has threatened that the Justice Department will step in. And he's a Republican, by the way. So folks, remember, this is really not about party. It's about principle. It's about who we are as a nation, and party label doesn't necessarily tell you anything about what a person's real beliefs and convictions are, because it's a Republican governor in Massachusetts, and he is the one who has shut down the gun stores in defiance of the president saying, don't do that. Those are essential services, and they support people in the exercise of their Second Amendment rights. Well, the governor of Massachusetts says, too bad. I'm leaving the gun stores and the gun ranges closed. Thank you very much for your respect for our Second Amendment rights. Appreciate that. Okay, folks, numbers 888-589-8840. Let's get to your calls early here. Let's go to Camille in Mississippi. Camille, welcome.
Hi, Bishop. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
I have a couple of things. First of all, I'd like to say a quick prayer, if I may, for you and all of our AFR family.
Please.
Because I know that you're under attack, if I may.
Yes, please go right ahead.
Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for Bishop Jackson and our AFR family, Lord, all the men and women that are standing in the gap. I just pray for a hedge of protection around them for their well-being and their safety, and also for our president and vice president, Lord. We need them more than ever. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Camille. Thank
y'all. Y'all are like my second family. I love y'all. Second thing, I'm curious. You were saying the action alert. No, I'm sorry. It was Abraham yesterday evening, but I have trouble. My action alerts are just disappearing. They're not coming through, and I have to go back on. Is anybody else having that issue?
Huh.
It's happened before. This isn't the first time.
You're talking about the TV action alerts that come on your television?
No. I'm sorry. Kim Wildman will send out an action alert.
Oh, our action alerts coming from us. Oh, okay.
Yes, sir.
And you're not getting those.
On my email. I think there's something going on there. I really do, okay. That they're being blocked.
Well, Camille, my first recommendation would be sign up again and see what happens.
I can't even find how to get there. I don't know.
Okay. Well, look,
just curious,
Camille,
something you all might want to look into or let me know in a couple of days if you hear anybody else. And then my third thing about what's going on.
Please make it quick, Camille, because we got a lot of full lines right now, but go right ahead.
All right.
One more.
Personally, like when you're young and your mother or your father says, don't do this and don't do that. And finally, you've just pushed them to the edge. For me personally, I feel like God is picking me up by my collar and shaking me and saying, I've been talking to you for 20 years to stop doing, I'll just say it, smoking. And now there's this virus out here that obviously attaches to the world for someone like me, which is dangerous.
Camille, thank you for the call, Camille. We're going to pray for you to be completely delivered from that, because you're right.
Thank you.
Thank you. I don't think anybody's going to die from smoking. I mean, forgive me. That's not what I meant to say. I don't think anybody's going to go to hell for smoking cigarettes, but it's not healthy. It's not a good thing. And I think this coronavirus has sort of underscored that, because everybody I've talked to now who says to me, yeah, if you're a smoker and you get this, you're going to have some very, very severe problems. But thanks for the prayer, particularly Camille. And if anybody else is having trouble getting our alerts or anything like that, please let us know. Let's go to Shirley in Tennessee. Shirley, welcome.
Thank you for taking my call. You mentioned Gavin Newsom a minute ago, and I don't know if you were aware 6 days ago that the ex-United Kingdom Prime Minister Gordon Brown called for global governance to tackle the coronavirus pandemic. And what he's saying is, for those who don't know, and they can research this on the internet, he's saying that he's urged the world leaders to create a temporary form of global government to deal with this crisis. And he's said that the proposed global task force should oversee and support the development of a vaccine and the production and distribution of medical equipment, and help to deal with the economic fallout of the crisis. And in order to do that, they should coordinate the efforts of the central banks to take steps to prevent the flight of capital from emerging market economies, and agree to a joint approach to the use of the government spending to boost growth. Also, the Pope has been calling for the same thing. So I just want to make everybody aware.
Yeah,
I see this as more of a type of a way to try to get us into some sort of new world order at any cost. And most of these Democrats, all of them, I think, and some of the Republicans are in on it.
Shirley, thank you for the call. Yeah, I had read that story, hadn't gotten around to mentioning that, but you are absolutely right. And here again, folks, never let a good crisis go to waste. That's the last thing in the world we need, one world government. Please give me a break. Let's go to Jason in Texas. Jason, welcome.
Hey, how you doing, Brother Bishop?
Doing great, Jason.
Well, God bless you for your service and everything you do to help spread the truth, brother. I just want to let you know that we're still working here in Texas. You know, we're just using common sense. Everybody's keeping their 6 feet distance, and, you know, nobody's breathing on each other. We're washing our hands, but we can't shut down the economy over a virus. And I still believe, you know, we need to get Trump back in office. We need to get Hillary back in court. We need to try all these traitors. We need to finish Trump's wall, and we need to hang them from it. And Epstein did not kill himself. That's all I need to say.
Okay, Jason. I was with you up to every point, but hanging them from the wall that President Trump is going to build. But you know what? I'd like to do something a little less dramatic, which is just retire them from public office, retire them from bothering us. Just please. Go back to San Francisco or wherever it was you were or came from and go harass those folks and just leave the rest of us alone. But I get your point, Jason. I get your point. Okay, I think we got room for one more call before we take the break. Let's go to Wesley in Georgia. Wesley, welcome.
Hey, thanks, Bishop. A couple things, and I'll try to be quick. I believe, and I think that you do too, that our forefathers, when they authored the Constitution, and particularly the Bill of Rights, they did so in thinking of things like we're going through now. And I know times were different then, but they didn't author those Bill of Rights for easygoing, happy, quote-unquote, normal times. They had times of distress and times of war and times of, you know, different issues coming up. And that, I think our Bill of Rights is more important now than ever. You know, it's very important in times like this, and not to be abandoned or shrugged, you know, pushed up to the wayside. And I'll say, you know, you believe that China is watching the way we respond, and I do too, but there is also enemies in this country, particularly socialists, who want complete power, who are also watching the way we respond and watching how quickly and easily they've been able to stop us from assembling in many places, particularly in church. And, you know, this time it's quote-unquote for the greater good and justified, but next time it might be that they censor what you can preach in church, and there are already many on the left that don't want pastors talking about abortion and don't want pastors talking about homosexuality. And we got to be very careful. This is a slippery slope that can really do some damage. And I appreciate your program. God bless you, and God bless American Family Radio.
Amen. Thank you, Wesley. Wesley, I wanted you to go on with that because I think you are absolutely on point. I don't think the Founding Fathers gave us the Bill of Rights only except in a time of emergency. You know, in other words, when it really gets bad, just forget about all that. I think they gave it to us because these rights are inherent in who we are. And frankly, they are far more important in a time of crisis because that's when liberty is most likely to be under attack. And I have to admit, I am surprised that there's not more discussion about constitutional prerogatives right now, that there's not more discussion about, you know, there are things that we can do, but we got to make sure that we're following the Constitution in the way we do it. And I'm going to keep saying that here because I just think that that's an important note to strike, especially in a time like this. So thank you. Best Black, back in a moment.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
There's a man in the New Testament who is surely one of the most overlooked and under-recognized characters in the Bible. His name is Barnabas. What kind of person was he? Well, we're told that when the young, struggling church at Jerusalem needed financial help, he sold his property and gave the income to the church. We're told also that on another occasion, he and Paul took an offering at the church in Antioch and carried it to Jerusalem to help those left needy because of a famine. Not only did Barnabas help with the financial needs of the people, but he helped them in other ways as well. When the church at Antioch needed more leadership, Barnabas went to Tarsus and persuaded Paul to return with him and help. But there's another quality that Barnabas had that even overshadowed those. After Paul had been converted to the Christian faith and wanted desperately to meet with the Christian leaders in Jerusalem, they refused to see him. They were suspicious of him, afraid he might still be seeking to do them harm. Paul searched in vain to get someone to take him to the church leaders, but no one dared take the chance. No one, that is, but Barnabas. Barnabas risked his all, his reputation, and even, probably and possibly, his life, when he volunteered to introduce Paul to the church leaders. Barnabas reasoned that you should not hold a man's past against him when he had had a change in heart. Sometime later, when Paul was preparing for what is commonly known as the second missionary journey, he refused to include John Mark in his group. Mark had deserted Paul and Barnabas in the middle of their first journey, and Paul held this against Mark. But Barnabas was the type of person who dared to give a man another chance. So he separated from Paul and carried John Mark with him. He again risked his reputation to give a person another chance. I've often wondered where the world would be without Barnabas. There's a possibility that Paul would have never become one of the apostles and would not have been able to accomplish his great work. And there is a chance that John Mark would have turned his back on the new faith. If that had happened, we'd be much the poorer. For it was Mark who wrote the first recorded account that we have of the life and teachings of Christ. If you doubt how great that contribution of Mark is, you must remember that of the 666 verses contained in Mark's gospel, all but 30 are copied by either Matthew or Luke in their works. Take away Mark's material, and the material contained in the first three gospels would be little indeed. When Paul needed a friend but didn't deserve one, Barnabas was there. When Mark needed a friend but didn't deserve one, Barnabas was there. There's always a need for a Barnabas. You know, the world is a better place and much richer because of Barnabas. His kind is still needed today and will be as long as the world endures.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
We're back, folks. The number is 888-589-8840. Here's what New York Governor Andrew Cuomo said during one of his daily press briefings, and I find this chilling. He said, "This is going to be transformative. We are never going to be the same again. When do we get back to normal? I don't think we get to normal. I think we get to a new normal." Now, if the level of power that some of these mayors and governors are seeking to exercise over the American electorate, the American people, is supposed to be the new normal, then folks, we are in deeper trouble even than the coronavirus. Now, he didn't get into specifics, but that's the mentality. And we've heard Gavin Newsom say, this opens the door to usher in a new era of progressivism. We've heard Jim Clyburn down in South Carolina, who has been appointed the head of this new select committee that Nancy Pelosi is setting up, say that we now have an opportunity to put restrictions on in keeping with our vision. Restrictions on in keeping with our vision. Folks, we need to pray, not just ourselves out of this virus. Certainly, that's That's an important priority, but we need to pray that what we are doing is not working ourselves out of our Constitution and out of our liberty in the process. Let's see. You've been very patient. Rob in Arkansas, welcome.
Hey, Jackson, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you, Rob?
Oh, I'm wonderful. First of all, I want to say that it was supposed to be tomorrow morning that I was supposed to fly out from Little Rock to go see my dad in Arizona. He's in a nursing home. Unfortunately, the airline had decided to cancel my flight because there wasn't enough people on the airline. Number two, I'm a trucker, and the way I see the world right now is people are following the guidelines as far as washing their hands and everything. I stop at a lot of Lowe's truck stops. I see the men in there. They're washing their hands. They're being careful about touching everything. Even the Lowe's Corporation have put up plastic shields in front of the cashiers to keep themselves from getting exposed to any type of contagious disease or anything. So I just want people to know that, you know, in the end, we are going to be all right. It's just going to take a little time. And one more thing, would you not agree? I know I heard you talking about, I believe it was Massachusetts, about how he left the abortion clinic open. Is that true?
Yes, but close okay. the gun stores and gun ranges, right?
Yes, but that being said, state to state, there are probably some states that have shut down the abortion clinics, but look at it this way. How many babies' lives are we saving by doing this?
Oh, look. I have not heard of any states. In fact, I think Planned Parenthood has been quite defiant about this in saying that they are not shutting down and they are not closing their doors. And I have not heard of any states that have closed down the abortion clinics. And maybe there are, but I have not heard that. So if any of you, our listeners, have heard that, or you live in a state where that has happened, please let us know. I'd be very encouraged to hear that, because so far I've heard of none of that. So, hey, Rob, be safe out there and keep on trucking, man. Forgive that little cliche, but keep on trucking. And God bless you, Rob.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Let's go to Daniel in Tennessee. Daniel, welcome.
Hey there. You know, a lot of things are on my mind, but I'll try to be very brief. I've never been on your station before, so I've never heard of you until today.
Oh, wow. Well, welcome. I'm certainly glad to have you in our family of listeners. Thank you.
And what I have great fear of is the fact that the people, you know, different people, what I call, there's a new divide. Instead of Democrat and Republican, we should be thinking in terms of globalists versus not globalists.
Mm.
I've not yet come up with a good name for them, but you get the idea.
Oh, yes.
And I'm afraid that the people that have an unbiblical worldview, they are just chomping at the bit to get us so controlled that we won't do a thing. And, you know, I have to wonder, if Dr. King came back and saw things the way they are now, he would scream at people. I don't care what ethnic group, he would scream, "What have you done with your freedom?"
Yeah.
The other thing I want to comment on, I welcome your ideas. I know there is a small thing that may not be that darn serious, but I think it's very annoying to me when people use the soft word issue instead of problem. I hate soft language. And I don't know why it's in vogue now to call everything an issue. And it just sounds so, gosh.
Sounds kind of weak, huh? Yeah.
Very. And I've even heard people on here do it. Now, I think the reason people do it here, only because it's become a darn habit.
I don't know. Yeah. Look, let's face it, Daniel. The vocabulary has been going through a major alteration for political reasons. And you're right. Sometimes there is a tendency to use words to try to strip a thing of its power, strip a matter of its power, strip a problem of its power. And so we all need to be aware of that. I know I use the word issue from time to time. I do a lot of writing, and I'll sometimes use the word. I'll use it interchangeably with other words. But look, I am a lot more concerned, frankly, about the political correctness that tells you there's certain words you simply cannot use. You are not allowed to use. And if you use those words, you are a bad person. Like, you can't call it the Chinese virus. That's racist. I mean, some of this stuff has just gotten completely out of hand. Daniel, thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Let's see. You have been very, very patient. Sherry in Oklahoma, thank you for calling.
Hi. Good afternoon, and it's nice to meet you.
Thank you. Nice to meet you, too, even if it is just over the telephone.
Yeah, we're still talking. My observation is that China had plenty of time during the time that they started, no telling when, until the time that the whole, everybody knew about the virus that was going around. They had plenty of time to experiment on their own people. And they'll tell them how many thousands and tens of thousands of people have died over there, and we wouldn't know. So whenever it let loose and everybody started getting sick all over the globe, that they had perfected it by then, and they knew the remedy. I bet they even know, you know, what is going to help it and what won't help it. And also, they're so dead set against Christians that they have successfully, here on the left in America, destroyed the church. They have been successful at splitting us up. And, you know, once a group is split up, it's easier to attack.
Divide and conquer. Hey, Sherry, I'm getting up close to a break, Sherry. I want to try to get one more call in if I can. But, Sherry, thank you so much for the call. We appreciate it. And I don't even know whether I'm going to get another caller in. But I will say this. Look, folks, China is run by a communist totalitarian dictatorship. They are evil people. The people running that country are evil people. And you're right. Sherry points out they're cracking down on the underground church, which is the authentic church in China. They are cracking down. They're having a major crackdown on the underground church right now, even as we speak. And so China's not allowing their people to get real information about what's going on with this virus. They're simply not going to do that. And you know, the sad thing is that we've got people in this country who will defend China and attack America, which is, somebody earlier used the word treason and traitor. And I think we really are faced with people in our country. They're no longer card-carrying members of the Communist Party, but I think they do have a loyalty to something other than our country, to a Marxist ideology that, frankly, makes them a threat to the future of this nation. I don't think there's anything we can do about it. They don't violate the law, but we've got to somehow work our way into understanding that this stuff really is poisonous to our culture and reject it. Back in a moment.
Paul writes in 1 Timothy 6, verse 17, he says, "Instruct those who are rich in this present world." That's us. You say, "That's not me." It's you.
Steve Farrar on Focus on the Family Minute.
You got up this morning, you turned on the shower, and hot water came out. You are rich. There are people in the world who will never experience that. And you may be at the lowest point you have ever been economically, but you still live like a rich man. Instruct those who are rich in this present world, watch this, not to be conceited, and really watch this, or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches. We're living in a time of great uncertainty. Why? Because we thought the riches would always be there.
More from Steve at familyminute.org.
American Family Radio newscasts are now available as a podcast.
I'm Rusty Pugh.
I'm Steve Jordahl.
Didn't catch the full story? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Chris Woodward.
I'm Chad Groening.
Didn't have the radio on at the top of the hour? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Charlie Bunch.
And I'm Fred Jackson.
Get accurate news from a Christian perspective whenever you want it with the American Family News podcast. You can also sign up for our daily news brief. Visit onenewsnow.com.
Jesus Christ was crucified on a cross. He was buried. And 3 days later, he rose from the grave.
He's alive.
In ages past, Christians have faithfully shared the account of their risen Savior. Now is our time. One effective way to do that is by wearing and sharing the American Family Association He Lives Easter buttons. They open the door for a conversation about the gospel. Visit afastore.net.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
My story begins with debt, a lot of debt, credit card debt, and I heard a commercial for Trinity. I gave them a call.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
When I first called, I was a little embarrassed and kind of ashamed, and I looked at the numbers and I saw how quickly that astronomical debt that was in my life would go away.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
What I would tell other people, please pick up the phone and call Trinity. Just let them put together a program and see how affordable and easy it is to pay off your debt.
Call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Folks, the lines are full. I want to try to get to every single one of you I can before our hour closes out. So let's get right to it. We've got, is that Deal in Iowa? Is it Deal?
Dale.
Oh, Dale. D-A-L-E. Okay, Dale. Sorry about that. But Dale, glad to have you on the program.
Yes, thank you for your wonderful show. And through your show, I'd love to encourage the president to call for a national day of fasting Saturday before Easter. I think, and I know in my heart, the nation would be healed and we could move on.
Amen.
And not only healing for the coronavirus, but the left, you know, as the Syrians were at the gate of Jerusalem in Hezekiah's day, and Haman in the days of Esther, I think God will heal our land.
Dale, I absolutely agree with you. I have been saying for weeks now that I really believe, I've been praying for, and I'm believing God to do a great work on Easter, resurrection celebration, that God would do a work in our country, and we begin to see this virus dissipate, but also would bear witness to the world that the God we serve is real. He's not a figment of our imagination. We're not following some empty, made-up religion that makes us feel better. That the God we serve is truly the God who created this entire universe and created us, and he loves us all and wants the very best for us, but he will have a moral universe, and those who reject his morality can't live in it. It's just that plain and simple. We can understand that in the secular and earthly realm, we have people who are so hurtful to others that they can't live among us, and we put them in places called prisons or jails. Well, God's going to create a universe in which there are no longer any offenses, and only those people who have accepted him and his transformative power in our lives, his ability to make us his righteousness, to reflect his righteousness, only those people can be in it, because people who reject that can't. And I trust that this will be a time of awakening for the entire country to realize we need God in America. Let's see. I'm trying to get those of you who have been waiting the longest. Let's go to Bill in Texas. Bill, welcome. Bill, you are on.
Bill from Hooks.
I said Bill from Texas. Are you from Texas?
Yes, that's that. No, thank you, Bishop. I appreciate your program. I appreciate your service. I'm maybe retired myself.
Well, and thank you for your service, Bill.
Just because I'm out of uniform doesn't mean that I don't stand by the oath that I took when I joined up. And I'll stand or fall with the founders and the founding documents. I'm concerned about the coronavirus, the Wuhan virus. I don't know if it came out of a weapons lab or not, but even I think Chinese are signatories to the Biological Weapons Convention, but nevertheless, they do work on biological warfare. And whether that came out of their lab or not, you can bet their war planners are watching how the world, the West, and especially America are reacting to it. To have a strong national defense, we have to have a strong economy. And you can bet they're keenly observing what's going on.
Amen.
And biological warfare is on their table if they decide to use it. They can lose half their population, and they'll still have twice as many people as we have in the United States. They've got a much deeper bench.
Well, Bill, listen, thank you so much for the call, and you are absolutely right. You've made a point that I've thought, and you just brought it to the fore for me, which is, you know, if a nation's leaders are evil enough, they can actually make the cold-blooded calculation. We can afford to lose a half billion people and still be able to outlast them because they don't have that many people. And frankly, folks, communism has proven to think just that way. Just that way. Because remember, we in America honor individual life and liberty. They don't. They don't care about the individual. The individual does not matter. So you're right, Bill. Thanks again for your service, Bill. And you are absolutely right. You nailed it on that. And that's something that we all better be cognizant of and aware of. Let's go to Maria in Indiana. Maria, welcome.
Thank you, the Bishop, and thank you for everything that you're doing. I am a medical doctor, and I am a missionary in the Southeast Asia region. Personally, with all due respect to everybody who have died of the virus, I personally think that this pandemic is a blessing in disguise. God's way of telling the world that this is not a country that you people should have any relations with. That's my number one thing. With regards to the sheltering in place, I find it a blessing that all of the Congress people, the legislators and the senators went home, because I think the contamination of their willful wickedness is much more destructive than the virus itself. They even affect medical decisions when it comes to the choices that doctors have to make to save lives. And then the third thing that I see as God's hand in this is that the grief of God over all of the big decisions and tiny decisions that we make that contribute to the instability of our country.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
I think that God loves us because who can... I know that God loves us, especially when I saw that picture of the USS Navy Comfort entering
Amen.
New York City with mm-hmm. With the lady statue and the flag of America. So if there are still remnants of Christians, we will survive this and at the power of the United States for as long as we are in God.
Thank you.
Embrace.
Thank you, Marie.
We'll
thank
never
you.
Dissipate. Thank you.
Thank you for the call, Marie. Absolutely. You're right. There's no country more compassionate. No country responds the way we do to tragedies, no matter where they happen, anywhere in the world. Let's try to keep getting your calls in. We've got, let's go to Calvin in Kentucky. Calvin, welcome.
Is this Brother Jackson?
Yes, sir.
Brother Jackson, we need a wall real bad.
Are you talking about the wall on the southern border?
No, sir. We need to find the centermost point of America on the Canadian side and on the Gulf of Mexico side. put a 40-foot wall from the top to the bottom and put all the anti-American people on the left and all the normal people on the right.
Okay.
And get rid of my stupidity.
Okay, Calvin. Calvin, listen, I'm running short on time, but thanks for the call. And we know that that's not likely to happen, but it brings a chuckle to me, that's for sure. Let's see. Let's go to Dr. V in Virginia. Dr. V, welcome.
Hello. Hi, Bishop. How are you? Hello?
Yes, I'm fine, Dr. V. We're a little short on time. So did you want to talk about this hydrochloroquine?
Yes, yeah. So I agree that if it's useful, it should be approved. But we need to know, I don't think that I've heard several listeners and even Brian Fisher, who I respect and love, just as I love you. And he says that he thinks that it may be a conspiracy, that the government people are holding it to have a vaccine named after them. I don't think it's any of that. I think the doctors are being very careful studying this medication carefully to make sure that it's safe. I hear reports of people developing generalized clotting disorders, and with the use of along with Zithromax, it can actually cause heart arrhythmias and lead to other complications. So I think that the investigators are being very careful before they say go ahead and use it and open it up to everybody because there are going to be lawsuits if people start passing out or dying from this.
Basically what you're saying is we need to go slow with this hydrochloroquine before declaring that it's really the answer. Listen, I am running so short on time. Dr. V, thank you so much for the call. Call me again, okay, when we get you on a little bit earlier. We've got Carl in West Virginia. Carl, welcome.
Hello, brother. It's probably not accurate to call your program a talk show. It's much more than that. But I tell you, as far as talk shows go, yours is better than Limbaugh and Hannity, and I encourage your listeners to spread the word about the awakening.
Thank you, Brother Carl. That's awfully kind of you. I'm sure that Rush and Sean would beg to differ, but I appreciate that. Folks, listen, we're going to keep doing our very best to get you all the very best information we can and to give you all a biblical worldview on what we're providing, because we really believe this is more than a scientific issue and it's more than a political issue. It's a spiritual issue, ultimately. And we are engaged in a pitched battle between good and evil, ultimately, in our country. And we're not ashamed to say that here and to say that God is on the side of good and the devil's on the side of evil, and the people who are against God are sadly on the devil's side. And so we really want to solve this coronavirus situation. There's only one thing to do, more important than anything else we do. And I'm not saying we don't do anything else. I'm not saying that. But more important than anything else we do, somebody suggested earlier, fast, pray, seek God's face, ask God to help us, to lead us, to guide us through this. You know, the psalm that is probably the best known psalm and most memorized psalm in the world is the 23rd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. And though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil because he is with me. So folks, that's the source of our strength. We look to the hills from whence comes our help. Our help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. So you all just be encouraged. Don't let this stuff get you down. Don't get depressed. Don't get fearful. Just stand boldly and come boldly to the throne of grace and find grace to help in the time of need and the mercy that you need. And remember, we're going to win this thing because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.